Welcome to Parshat Neso, discussion of what doesn't belong. You know that game they used to play in Sesame Street, you know, some of these things don't belong. Well, in this parsha we have a whole bunch of things that don't seem to belong. Last week we understood, it made sense. We were setting up a camp, we counted it, we ordered it, we put certain tribes in one place, some in the other, the Mishkan in the center, we counted the people, we counted the Levites, and we have different Levites, they have different jobs at the beginning of the parsha. The end of the parsha also fits. The end of the parsha we have a dedication by the Levites, then we by the heads of each tribe, the Nesiim. Then we wonder, I thought we had a dedication in Parshat Shemini, Parshat Tzav, Parshat Tetzav, where we had a dedication ceremony. What's this dedication ceremony? 12 days with the 12 leaders of the tribes. What's that doing there? So we wonder about that. But within the framework of setting up a camp and having a dedication of that Mishkan, which is at the center of that camp, and then lighting the menorah for that and all that and dedicating the Levites, what in the world are these other things doing here? We have sending out the impure from the camp. We have that if someone commits a crime, seemingly some sort of robbery, stealing, theft, they have to return it to the person. If there's no one to return it to, you give it to the Kohen. Who would it be who had no relatives? It could be a convert. So maybe you're talking about stealing from a convert. You give the stolen goods after his death. You give it to the Kohen. Other things go to the Kohen as well. Then it talks about the wayward woman that she somehow defiled her marital relationship and she's suspected, so there's a ceremony to see if she was guilty or not. What has that got to do with it? And then we have the Nazirite. Unlike the woman who is wayward, he wants to be so holy. It's holy to God. Is it good? Is it bad? What's it doing here? What has it got to do with this? And then we have the priestly blessings. What are the priestly blessings doing here? They're very nice, they're good to have them anytime, but what are they doing in this parsha? Why do they belong? One of these things, some of these things, don't seem to belong. We had a larger class where we discussed for over half an hour all the different commentaries of Rashi and Ibn Ezra and the Ramban and the Tzora Mor and the particularly the Rav Shlomo Shneifel Hirsch. We looked at some modern commentaries, particularly Machon Herzog, Rav Yonatan Grossman, and different Rebbeim at the Yeshiva, Rabbi Kahn, Rabbi Bazak. I wanted to share with you sort of an overview of what it all means and how it all comes together in 10 minutes for Torah. We know, says the Kli Yakar, that, you know, the Jews can't keep their sanctuary, we can't keep the Beit HaMikdash if we have the sins of immorality, idolatry, and murder. But I think we found here, using the thought from Rabbi Yoel ben Nun, is that what we have here are things that are incongruous, things that do not belong. Don't belong in a Jewish camp. Can't have impurity. Particularly the impurity of a leper. A leper is antisocial, creates triangulation by gossiping against others, slandering. He's also haughty. And haughtiness relates to the Nazirite. So we send out the Nazirite, we send out the leper, who's haughty. And there's a Nazirite, and we tell him, you know, cool it. 30 days to be a Nazirite. This is what you do to be a Nazirite, but that's it. No more. And maybe even bring a sin offering, because it's not right to be a Nazirite. So we've got haughtiness, we've got to expunge our community of haughtiness. That might be parallel to idolatry. The rabbis say if you think you're God, you know, that's sort of idolatry. Or perhaps there's a very radical notion here that we're not interested in this section in discussing the problem of idolatry. That was in the book of Shemot, they talked about the problem if you want to have a holy camp, you can't have the golden calf. But here is a different problem. It's haughtiness that we can't have. It's the other sins, murder and immorality. Where's immorality? Well, one of the people you have to send out is the leper. And if you look at Gehazi, he became a leper. There's something a little bit licentious about him. Things he talks about the woman. And take a look at what the rabbis say about Gehazi. Also, those with seminal or gonorrheal discharge. This is called the Zav. Someone who has some sort of sexual impropriety that led to sort of some spiritual sexual disease. That's another person who doesn't belong in the camp. They need to be cleansed from that problem. And the wayward woman, she needs to be cleansed from her family problems as well, if indeed she did anything wrong. So that's the immorality. What about murder? Where does it say in this parsha you shouldn't have murder? Well, it does say you shouldn't have violence. Someone who stole something, he trespassed against others. They have to return their objects. Maybe it was a trespass against someone who has no relatives. Maybe that's the ger, the stranger, So who's added to the community, they have no relative, they have no protection, they have no power. And you stole from them, you've got to admit it. And, says Rabbi Yoel ben Nun, the Sota, what are we trying to do? Are we worried about the husband or the wife? Usually you say, Sota is about the Sota, it's about the woman who strayed from her husband. And she committed a crime, and she was hiding off with different men. She was warned not to hide with those men. She did anyway. And maybe she sinned. However, Rabbi Yoel ben Nun says, no, maybe not. Maybe this story is designed against the husband. Because we know what husbands do. They have all the power. They're often stronger. They often commit various murders. The greatest reason for homicide is often in the family matters. It could be the husband against the wife. It could be the wife against the husband because the husband is going to kill the wife, so the wife kills the husband before the husband kills the wife. All sorts of marital infidelity issues. And particularly the husband, who in those days could often get away with murder. He'd kill his wife, as perhaps Judah was about to do to Tamar. He's in charge. He's in charge of the family. So the Torah says, no. There's no murder, needless murder that goes on here. Let's verify. She sinned or she didn't sin? Let's find out. We don't have any murderers running around. So we have the sin of murder, the sin of infidelity and immorality. These sins are addressed. If you want to have a community, you have to send out of the camp those who commit certain acts of haughtiness, immorality, slander. And we need to correct things that are wrong, wrongs that are done. The wrongs that are done particularly to the most vulnerable, those who have no goel, those who have no relatives. Like perhaps the convert, those who are added, the erivah, those who are added to our community. And what about those who are haughty? What about those who think that they're greater than the others? They too perhaps have no place. There has to be social cohesion. You can't have those who want to lift themselves above. Or maybe not, say some of the modern commentaries, maybe the Nazirite is actually parallel to the Levite. After all, all these people have hair. The woman has we take her hair and we fray it. The Nazirite lets his hair grow. The Levite actually cuts off all his hair. The Kohen is supposed to take frequent haircuts. There is something here going on about hair. Maybe the Nazirite is the way that the Jewish community can relate at the mass level to the Kohen. Some of us want to be not just a Kohen, but a Kohen Gadol. The Nazirite is most similar to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, because Nezer Lo Kavar Rosho, the high priest has a crown, Kadosh Lashem, Kodesh Lashem, that he's holy to God, and the Nazirite makes himself crowned above the community. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's the relationship to the community. And then we have a different type of dedication. The dedication ceremony is not about what sacrifices are brought by the Levites and the Kohanim, but rather by the nation, by the leaders of each nation. This book is not about Levites. It's not Leviticus. This book is about the Ish Lamateh. There's a leader for each community. It's about how the congregation relates to that holy center. And these chapters, as Rabbi Yair Khan pointed out, they're all about relating that ideal of a holy camp to the actual reality. Says one of the modern commentaries, he says, you know, it's l'mishpachot ha'am. How do we count them? We count it according to our mishpachot, according to our families. And what do we have here? We have an admonition. Try to keep those families together. Let's root out any jealousy where it doesn't belong, if the woman did nothing wrong. Let's try to keep a cohesive camp. So, started by perhaps the notion one of these things or some of these things or all these things don't belong. What are they doing here? And we answered it's very simple. We're trying to set up a holy camp. We have the Jews on the outside. We have the Levites in the middle. We have the holy camp of God in the center. We counted the Levites. They had their special role, but we counted each one according to the mishpachot, they have according to their families and their children and those they gave birth to. This is their most important. And then in terms of family, to make sure that we preserve those families. In terms of having a holy camp, we have to expunge the camp of those elements that are impure, those that are haughty, those who commit wrongs to the family, wrongs to society. And the element of tshuva is introduced. Rabbis say that things are repeated sometimes just for the one element. Here is the mitzvah, according to Ramban, the mitzvah of tshuva, the mitzvah of vihit vadu. When you do something wrong, you confess your sins, you admit it through tshuva. Through repentance, you can have a holy camp. We've got to make sure that murder is expunged from our camp. More important than expunging the camp of idolatry, that was an issue in Shemot. But just as important, make sure there's no idolatry, there's no murder. Don't kill that woman because you think she did something wrong. And don't commit acts of immorality, like perhaps the woman, perhaps the Zava, the one with these different types of emissions. And finally, it's the role of the Kohanim not to simply lord above the Jews, but to bless them. We should ask them to bless us, they should bless us, and we should bless them, and God should bless all of us. Because we're all connected. And then and only then you have the dedication, but not a dedication of that the Levites do. No. The beginning of the portion was about Levites. At the end of the portion says a Jew could become a Levite too. It says the Rambam says the Parsha of Nazir says this Parsha of Naso, a Jew could be a Levite, he could be a Nazirite, he or she could raise themselves above others. We could be blessed. We could bring holy gifts to the sanctuary, and we could dedicate that sanctuary, because it's not about just the Levites. It's about us as well. It's about the nation as a whole. This book is about the nation marching together, not just the holy ones, all of us together. But there's a reality. There's immorality at different levels, at the family level, at the societal level, at the interpersonal level. We have to expunge those elements, and then and only then we can march forward. Eventually, next week's parsha, we can march forward, and hopefully the enemy will be cast away, will be sent away. When they see the holy camp, they'll be in awe of the holy camp that's passing through, and all the enemies will disperse. The Jews conquer the land of Israel, not only for themselves, but to be a beacon of holiness for the entire world. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lemeth congregation. Join us each week for a discussion of the parsha and the holidays, the longer classes, the 10 minutes for Torah, and how-to videos as well. Thank you.